The Patriot counterpoints to propaganda.
Truth, liberty, and the real American way.
You have now enlisted in the Denton and Sasquatch Show.
This is your beacon of truth in a world of liars, thieves, and whores. We are podcasting patriots taking a fight to the enemy, never taking freedom for granted, because it cannot survive without protection. That is us, the Denton and Sasquatch Show. Our email, dentonandsasshow@gmail.com. We are calling on you to get involved, never back down, and never surrender the truth. Welcome to the DNS Show. I am Sasquatch, and he is Denton. Unfortunately, Denton will not be with us tonight. He's taking care of some stuff, so it's just going to be me, another solo show. So here we go. God, we've got a lot of stuff to do. I know I always say that, but it's like we were going to do the show last night, and some stuff came up with Denton, so we couldn't do it, but I already had a bunch of stuff ready for the show. Then today, a bunch of other stuff happened, so I had to add that in as well, and it's like, man, it's just like every single day, crap on top of crap. But we'll try to get through it the best we can. All right, you may remember the story that I told on the show a few months ago, back if you're a longtime listener. The short version is, I was at Knott's Berry Farm with my family, and this old-timer wearing a U.S. Marine's cap and a Marine shirt walked by me, and as he walks by, he nods his cap and he says, "Semper Fi." I didn't quite know what to say because I was never a Marine, so I didn't want the guy thinking that I was, and I always thought that that was like something they said to each other, so I simply said, "Thank you, brother." And I don't know if that's the right response, but it's just kind of what came to me at the moment. So fast forward to today, and another odd encounter happened. A contractor that I was dealing with, out of the blue, says to me, "Hey, you an ex-Navy SEAL?" So I took a beat and I said, "No, why would you think that?" He says, "Well, you look like one." Just in my brain, I was thinking, what does that mean? What does a Navy SEAL look like? I mean, I watch a couple different SEALs on various channels, and I do have a couple friends that are ex-Special Forces, but they all look different. There's not like a cardboard cutout of a Navy SEAL. So I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe he thought that I look like one because I have what's called an operator's beard. But really, to me, I think my beard looks more like Santa Claus because it's got a bunch of gray in it. So other than the beard, I wasn't wearing anything that would make you think I was a Navy SEAL or even in the military. The only thing I had on was a trucker's cap that was camouflaged. And it didn't have any military patches or anything like that on it. In fact, the patch on it is to a beach resort. I was wearing a hoodie, but again, no military stuff, no anything. It had a sports fishing logo on it. I don't know. I guess because I'm big, I give off that vibe. I really don't know. It's odd. Maybe I should have been a Navy SEAL. All right, enough of that. So jumping right into it, right off the bat, I want you to know... In fact, no, I need you to know, we are funding our own demise. America, Americans, we are paying for our own demise. Let me make it a little more dramatic. We are funding our own demise. All right, that statement's going to make a little more sense very, very soon. Kind of ties in with the first story I'm going to work on here, but definitely the second one for sure. Okay, take a mental picture of what I'm about to say. 47.1%. That is 47.1%. Cloward Piven. That is what we are seeing at the border. We've talked about that term on this show a few times before. In fact, I even got an email from somebody who said, hey, I didn't know what that was. Thank you for letting us know. So just in case you don't know what Cloward Piven is, it is a strategy that is a political, well, it's a political strategy from 1966 by American sociologist and political activist Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven. It is a strategy of forcing political change leading to societal collapse through orchestrated crisis. Does that sound familiar? The Cloward-Piven strategy seeks to hasten the fall of capitalism by overloading the government bureaucracy with a flood of impossible demands, amassing massive unpayable national debt, and other methods such as unfettered immigration, thus pushing society into crisis and economic collapse by overwhelming the United States. If you haven't guessed thus far, they were Marxists. So that brings us to Biden yesterday. He comes off the helicopter and they're all shouting questions at him. And of course, he is angling this that it is the Republicans, the House Republicans' fault and Trump's fault that the border is all screwed up. And he wants to fix it, but they just won't give him the power. Give me the power, man. Come on. Give me the power. That's what he said. Give me the power. I need the power. He needs Congress to pass his law to secure the border that he says is already secure. Are you tracking this? Not to mention, presidents don't write law. Congress already passed H.R. 1 to address the border. So they did their job. Biden is just not doing his job by enforcing it. And this whole thing with them trying to blame the House Republicans, this is nothing more than them using this to try to win the House. So they're going to tell everybody, oh, well, we could have fixed this, but they wouldn't do it. So if you give us the House, we can take care of this whole big problem. See, this is this has been the Democrat strategy for a long time. And anybody that can't see it is just stupid. What they do is they cause the problem, and then they come in and say, oh, just vote us in. We'll fix it. We'll fix this problem that somebody else caused, when in fact they caused the problem. So on day one of Biden's presidency, he got rid of Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. So he is solely responsible for the crisis at the border. It started right then. This has been the plan all along. But Sass, that makes no sense. What's the plan? Well, I'm going to tell you the plan. Remember that 47.1% I told you to remember? Gotta get a little drink. That number is the number of people in this country that pay no federal income tax, but they still get to vote. It is no mistake that the Democrats keep calling our country a democracy. Every time you turn on the TV, they're like, our democracy is under attack. Democracy, democracy, democracy. We don't live in a democracy, but they like to say we do. But we might be living in one very, very soon, because once we hit 51% of people who pay no taxes but get free stuff from the government, they are going to vote for their own interests from then forward. Then we will be a democracy. And these people that don't pay taxes but get free stuff, they don't care about paying taxes, because they don't. They don't care about anything. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about the way the government runs. As long as they're getting their free stuff, they're going to vote for Democrats. America, as we know it, will be dead, and we will be a democracy run completely and forever by Democrats. That is, of course, until they turn the place into Venezuela and we're eating zoo animals to survive, but all right, yeah, they are not Democrats anymore. They are now neo-Marxist Democrats, because the neo-Marxists have infiltrated the Democrat Party, and a lot of the Democrats just have no clue. They're like, man, these guys are doing some really weird stuff, but that's okay, because we're screwing Republicans, so yay! It's mind-boggling. After this happens, they plan to stay in power. And, of course, they want to do that with the next election. Now, of course, we don't know if that's going to be Biden. but they're pretty sure it's going to be a Democrat. They're going to do everything in their power to make it a Democrat. Now, if you remember, Trump was trying to, for the first time, exclude illegals from the census count. It never got settled because Biden won the election. So guess what's coming up very, very soon? That's right, the census. That is why Democrats are herding illegals into this country like cattle and then shipping them to the states they want to turn blue, namely Florida and Texas. I've seen on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, the shills that get paid by the DNC to post things. They say, well, if this was a border crisis, then how come they're only attacking it in Texas? Well, that's because they've been told to only go to Texas. There are people funneling them only to Texas. And they're not only going to Texas. We have it here in California, too. But you don't hear about it because California's like, yeah, cool, we're sanctuary. Even though our state is falling apart. Now, this may explain why and how everything is being funneled to Texas. This is from News Nation, Atlanta. From the local to the state and federal level, Americans are paying a hefty price for the humanitarian crisis at the southern border. Now, remember when I said we are paying for our own demise. And in a way, the federal government is able to hide the true cost of the border crisis from the public through, we talked about this on the show before, NGOs. The majority of migrants arriving in cities like New York or smaller towns across America or Texas do so with the help of non-governmental organizations, or NGOs. Organizations like charities or religiously affiliated nonprofits. In the past 2 years, Border Patrol holding stations have constantly been at overcapacity in dealing with the massive influx of migrants crossing illegally into the U.S. When this happens, Border Patrol releases processed migrants to NGOs to shelter, feed, and coordinate travel for migrants to their final destinations. Once received, whether it be the adult population or the families, the sites will then work with them, and the general term that we use is we go through a processing. John Martin, the deputy director of the Opportunity Center for the Homeless, said that processing is to facilitate travel to the destination of their choice. Now, I'm not sure if they're saying, yeah, I want to go to Detroit or I want to go to Indiana or whatever. I think they're being told, okay, you're going to go to Texas, you're going to go to Florida, and you're going to go wherever else we need you to go. NGOs receive billions of taxpayer funds through several federal departments like the Department of Homeland Security and Health and Human Services. Now, this is how they hide it, because most people don't pay attention to this stuff. They're too busy with football and whatever Bachelor it is this season. I don't know what that stuff is, but some people do. But they're too busy watching that stuff. And also, understandably, a lot of people have families and things to do, so they can't sit around eating this stuff up constantly. So the government gives money to the NGOs, who are really working for the government, pretending that they're non-governmental organizations, and they're doing what the Biden administration wants them to do, or the Democrats. According to Forbes, the NGO Catholic Charities USA received $1.4 billion from government support compared with the $1 billion in private donations. Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services reported more than $93.1 million in U.S. government grants in its 2021 financial statement, making taxpayer-funded grants more than 80% of its total support. Now, if that's not bad enough, the United Nations, and I've got another little story about them a little bit later on, in fact, next. The United Nations, UN, has been accused of helping America's border crisis by handing out debit cards and cash vouchers to illegal border crossers on their way north. Although, now listen to this, although fact-checkers have previously denied these claims, the UN's recently released Interagency Coordination Platform for Refugees and Migrants from Venezuela confirms, so fact check it all you want, but it's true, that the UN, along with 248 named NGOs, is indeed giving debit cards to illegal migrants funded mainly by U.S. taxpayers. We are funding our own demise. According to an article from the New York Post, the plan aims to spread $372 million in cash and voucher assistance and multiple cash assistance, MCAs, to 600,000 immigrants who are in transit to the United States during 2024. Let me repeat that. Not only do we have the 10 million that are already here, plus however many more million that have come over the last couple decades, now we have over 600,000 more who are on their way here right now. And they plan to give money to these people when they get here. Our money, taxpayer money, that was funneled through NGOs and the UN. Although the, I'm getting a little hot under the collar, and I hope you are too. You should be pissed about this. You should be pissed, because like I said, we are funding our own effing demise. Although the title of the R4V plan names Venezuelans as recipients of this aid operation, the fine print of the document states that the large number goes to all nationalities and multiple other nationalities. So they tell you one thing, and then in the fine print they say they're doing something else. Again, we are funding our own demise. Now, why are all these people coming to the U.S.? Why are these people asylum seekers? Well, the UN reports that the northern migration will continue to increase in 2024 and blames, wait for it, xenophobia. So hold on. You're telling me that people are leaving their country because people in their country don't like them? Last time I checked, that's not what an asylum seeker is. There are like rules that you have to go by to be an asylum seeker. You have to be getting persecuted in your country. There's a whole bunch of other ones, but it's not because people in your own country don't like you. The Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services would receive $182.6 million in grants the fiscal year of 2022 from the Department of Health and Human Services. Another NGO, Church World Services, reported more than $20.5 million in grant funds in its 2022 financial report, making more than 40% of its assets coming from you, taxpayers. These NGOs are not non-governmental organizations. They are proxies for the United States government via the Democrats and Joe Biden, and before him, Barack Obama. And finally, in this section, I'm going to play a little clip. And this was sent to the Denton and Sass Show via our email by our good friend Rocky. It is of former DHS Director Tom Homan and Jim Jordan. I'm not sure if this was in a hearing or just an interview. It's about 3 minutes long, and I'm not going to play the whole thing. But they're basically trying to figure out why Biden is letting this crisis happen. Then you get to the last 15 seconds, and everybody needs to hear the last 15 seconds. So I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to read it. And the reason I'm going to read it is because Tom Homan is speaking, and he's kind of a rough and gruff sort of New York type of guy. So it's kind of hard to understand what he says a couple times. But here we go.
When you take the vast majority of border agents off patrol, off their national security duties, bad things happen. That's when the criminals come across. That's why did 1.9 million people didn't take advantage of the free giveaway? Why not turn yourselves in? Get processed. Get transported to the city of your choice. Get work authorization. Get a hotel room. Get three meals a day. Why did 1.9 million people say, no, I want to get away? Why? Because they didn't want to be vetted. They want to be fingerprinted. That just scared the hell out of everybody. Yeah. I've done this for 34 years. I've never been more concerned about the safety and security of this country right now than I am right now because of 1.9 million gotaways. That scares the hell out of me.
Scares the hell out of me, too. It should scare the hell out of you. So like I said, I'm going to read what he said. When you take a vast majority of border tracers off patrol, off their national security duties, bad things happen. That's when the criminals come across. Why didn't 1.9 million people take advantage of the free giveaway? Why not turn yourself in? Get processed. Get transported to the city of your choice. Get work authorization. Get a hotel room. Get 3 meals a day. Why did 1.9 million people say no? I want to get away. Why? Because they didn't want to be vetted. They didn't want to be fingerprinted. That should scare the hell out of everybody. I've done this for 34 years. I've never been more concerned about the safety and security of this country than I am right now. Because of 1.9 million gotaways, that scares the hell out of me. So what was it? I don't remember the number, 14, 22, something like that. It only took that many people to bring down the Twin Towers and ram a plane into the Pentagon. And then the last one, I think they were trying for the White House, but didn't quite make it, crashed in Pennsylvania. But we possibly have 1.9 million people here that we have no idea who they are, where they came from, or what they're planning to do. Now, I don't ever want any kind of tragedy to happen here, but what's something that we have coming up pretty soon? The Super Bowl. And what have we seen happening with the Houthis? They take these really crude drones, strap on low-grade explosives on them, and they do a lot of damage to our battleships. They've done it already. So what makes you think they couldn't do that to the Super Bowl? Because we got a bunch of cops on the ground around there? I'm just saying, it's a possibility. And if it's not that, it's going to be something else. So we need to start opening our eyes. People need to start thinking about this stuff. All right, my next story. This is from a website called openthebook.com. They are basically a citizens advocate group that wants transparency in government. So to set this up, we're going to have to go back a little bit to Trump's presidency. We have been paying money to Palestine for many years, like since 1950. But since Obama started in office until right now, we have paid, listen to this number, we have paid $3.9 billion to Palestine. Now, I'm sure you've all seen pictures of Gaza. Does it look like it's had $3.9 billion funneled through it? That's a lot of money. Do you happen to know any vets that could use that money? Vets that may be sleeping on the street? Not to mention that right now vets' waiting times are getting longer and longer because they're putting illegals into the VA. That's right. They are treating illegals at the VA, and they're telling veterans that served our country, hey, you are a second-class citizen. You're going to have to wait. We have to treat these fine people that broke our laws to get into this country. That is Biden's America. All right, so all 8 years of Obama, we were paying them via the UN, roughly around $300 million a year. I mean, these are staggering amounts of money. Now, don't forget that we've said this on the show before. You can go to USAID.gov, I think, or .org, so one of those. You can find it. And you can look up all the money we are giving to everybody around the world. And it's just tons and tons of money. Yet we've got to give them even more, like this stuff. So we've been paying them around, it goes up and down every year, but around $300 million a year. Then Trump took over, and you know how government works. We've always given this money away. So government works this says, if we've always done it, we just have to always do it. That's the way government thinks. It's stupid. So Trump, in his first year, paid $359 million to Palestine. Then he heard some rumblings of some stuff that he didn't quite like. So the next year, he slashed it to $65 million, considerably less. Then he got confirmation of what he heard, that money was being siphoned off by Hamas, and that the Palestinian Authority, basically Hamas, was paying the pensions of families of martyrs. That's right. If you were killed in the act of jihad, your family was taken care of using U.S. tax dollars. The Wall Street Journal dubbed this pay for slay. So after that, Trump slashed the payments for his last 2 years in office to Palestine to zero. They got nothing, which is exactly what they should have got. Then Biden slinks his way into office, and guess what happened? He resumed the payments right on schedule. In 2023, Biden, via the United Nations Relief and Work Agencies, or UNRWA, he started the payments right back up again. Now, if that's not enough to get your blood boiling, we go to Washington. Roughly a dozen United Nations Relief and Work Agency employees, that's UNRWA, that we've been giving money to, were found to have participated in the October 7th massacre, according to Israeli intelligence. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has called this highly credible. The UN agency has also taught Palestinian... Oh, man. This is the UN. They have also taught Palestinian children with textbooks that promote anti-Semitism and jihad. A freed October 7th hostage said they were held in the attic of an UNRWA teacher. So this guy was knowingly helping Hamas. They have been knowingly teaching the kids hatred and jihad. The news caused the U.S. and other Western nations to freeze aid to the group. Well, thank God, but you know they'll be getting it again soon. And Israel has canceled meetings with UNRWA leadership. Like I said, we are funding our own demise. I think it's mind-blowing how much money we actually have in the U.S. because we have, over the centuries, created so much innovation. And now some here in America, because they like to hate America, would say, oh, well, you did that on the backs of brown and black people and blah, 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 and slaves, blah, 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 blah. Shut up. We did it. And we did it because we are the United States. We can do almost anything. But it seems like when there's things to do that are important, like getting vets off the street or fixing the homeless problem, oh, well, we'll throw our hands up. We can't do that. But anytime it's something with a bunch of money for other people, we seem to be able to do that just fine. All right, got another good one for you. Oh, you're going to like this one. Get a drink real quick. This is breaking news from the Epoch Times or Epic Times. I don't know how exactly you say that. But President Joe Biden's administration has drafted a document that will require background checks for all gun sales, even transactions between private citizens, according to a whistleblower group. So there you go, the rest of America, you get to be like California. Yep, we already have that law. The U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives drafted the 1,300-page document, which provides legal justification for a proposed rule that would require background checks for all gun sales. Empower Oversight Whistleblowers and Research said in a letter on January 31st, the document was drafted at the direction of the White House, according to two whistleblowers who communicated with the organization. However, Empower Oversight stated in their letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland, head of the U.S. Department of Justice, that the rule proposed in the document represents an overreach of the executive branch. Well, come on now. When does that ever stop Democrats? Such an expansive rule that treats all private citizens the same as federal firearm licensees would circumvent the separation of powers in the Constitution, which grants all legislative powers to Congress, while requiring that the president take care that the laws be faithfully executed, Tristan Levitt said. Joe Biden, take care that the laws be faithfully executed. He's not doing it at the border, so why would he care about this? To the extent such a rule prevents the private sales of firearms, it would also clearly violate the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution, which declares that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The rule would effectively ban private sales of firearms from one citizen to another by requiring background checks for every sale. Mr. Levitt said in a statement that the rule, if it were finalized, seems almost certain to be struck down in the courts. Well, you never know these days. Like President Biden's debt relief plan, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Struck down in the Supreme Court, and he said, screw you, Supreme Court, I'm doing it anyway. He added, it's thus hard to view it as anything other than a cynical pay to energize his base in a presidential election year. Well, of course, he's going to do that. The ATF, which is part of the DOJ, declined to comment on the letter beyond pointing to publicly available information. Well, of course they did. Can't have the ATF or DOJ actually make a comment on something. What else do I got here? Do I want to do that one first? I guess I'll do that one. I don't know. You may have heard this one already. And maybe you haven't. I don't know. But it's kind of crazy. A self-proclaimed messiah decapitated his 68-year-old father, then held up the victim's head in a politically charged YouTube video, blasting the federal government and the Biden administration. Justin Mohn, 32, is in custody in Pennsylvania after his father, Michael, was found by his wife beheaded inside the home that the trio shared in the quiet Philadelphia suburb of Levittown. Police then recovered a large kitchen knife and a machete from the bathtub after finding the man's head inside of a plastic bag, which was placed in a cooking pot in a bedroom. Why do they always seem to put him in cooking pots? Something weird going on there. Hours before his arrest, Mohn held up what he claimed was his father's head during a politically charged rant in which he claimed that he was the president of the United States that he posted on his YouTube channel. Now, are you seeing where we're going with this? The guy claimed that he was the president of the United States. Mohn said many saw him as the Messiah and wanted him as president while urging relatives living with federal employees to murder them. He blamed the federal government for woke mobs and migrants he claims are destroying the United States, and ranted against globalists and communists. The video was posted on Mohn's YouTube channel, where he had 115 followers. There are now only 4 videos on the channel, which feature him singing out of tune and playing music. In the beheading clip, he rants about taxes, declaring that the economy is near destruction, and most Americans can no longer afford the American dream. Well, I gotta agree with him there. Yeah, the guy is crazy, but you gotta agree with him there. Mohn went on to say that he was offering a $100 million bounty to anyone who could kill top officials, including FBI Director Christopher Wray, Attorney General Merrick Garland, and former Attorney General Bill Barr. He said there was a globalist and communist plot against the United States before ranting about the federal government and holding up his dad's head in the silver bucket. Mohn's rant continued, addressing U.S. postal workers, journalists, federal debt, and the Federal Reserve, the border crisis, Antifa, and the woke agenda. Again, I gotta agree with the guy on this stuff. I don't agree with the killing people and cutting off his dad's head, but I agree with him on all the stuff he's talking about. He said the traitorous Biden regime wanted to send America's military overseas to fight for Ukraine and die in a Russian winter. Mohn ranted against tax-evading big tech companies and those behind the U.S. prison system. Okay, so the reason I brought this up is because the Democrats are all screaming, see, he's a MAGA guy, he's a MAGA guy. They're extremists. They kill their own fathers and cut their heads off. Okay, this guy didn't mention MAGA one time. The stuff that he's screaming about, like I said, he's kind of right. But the killing part, that's not right. This guy may have been conservative leaning in his life, but somewhere along the way, he got severely mentally ill. Now, I have a little bit of experience with this because I lived with a roommate a long time ago who was schizophrenic. And this sounds like her. Everything was a plot. And, you know, they pick and choose sort of people that they think are coming after them. And they get these delusions of grandeur, like this guy thinking he was the president. So this guy he was clearly mentally ill. So, I don't know, sad story. But, again, just gives the Democrats something to see. See, we told you, they're extremists. But no mention of MAGA. So, they can shut up. Speaking of crazy people, we can go to Cori Bush. Of course, she's blaming right-wing organizations for the investigation into her, allegedly, giving $60,000 to her husband, who was then her boyfriend, to do security for her. I mean, this is the Fannie Willis thing. It's the exact same thing. So, I mean, it seems like they're all doing it these days. I'm not going to really get bogged down in this. Yeah, she's basically, it's a right-wing conspiracy, using the whole Hillary line. Okay, we'll move on. This is from The Independent. Oh, this is a sad story. Maybe I can play some sad music. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor has described being on the highest court in the land as living in frustration, saying that every loss the liberal justices face traumatizes her. Aww. As one of the three liberal justices on the court, Justice Sotomayor and her colleagues can typically anticipate they will be outnumbered when deciding cases. Over the last few years, rulings around issues of abortion rights, LGBT plus rights, and racial equality have swung in conservatives' favor. Every loss truly traumatizes me, in my stomach and in my heart, Justice Sotomayor said on Monday while speaking with students at the University of California, Berkeley Law School. Justice Sotomayor, who was the first Latina woman appointed to the court, has become known for crafting passionate dissents. Last year, she wrote that the symbolic damage of the court decision in 303 Creative versus Alinas and LGBT plus rights case was done. Yeah, that's the one where they're trying to force the website creator to make a website for a LGBT couple or whatever. And then she goes on to say, but I have to get up the next morning and keep on fighting. What choice do I have but to be in the fight, the good fight? Looking to this term, the court is poised to issue opinions on gun rights, access to abortion medication, criminal justice statutes, and Donald Trump's eligibility to be president. Based on the court's makeup, the majority opinion in those cases is likely to differ from the opinion of Justice Sotomayor and of the other liberal judges. Justices, when asked how she continues working alongside conservative justices with whom she disagrees, she said she looks for the good in people. If you look for the good in people, you can deal with the bad more easily, she said. There used to be a time when we had a good chunk of the summer break, but not anymore. The emergency calendar is busy almost on a weekly basis. Well, honey, I hate to tell you this, but it's busy on a weekly basis because of your party. Your Democrats. Taking everything to court and then appealing it all the way up to you. So you can suck on it. Yes, I just told a Supreme Court justice they can suck on it. But poor little her. Oh my God, she doesn't get her summer break. Who gets a summer break besides teachers and apparently Supreme Court justices? Some of these people, man. Let's see what else I got here. I don't have it in front of me, but I saw a thing yesterday about Russia and Ukraine where I guess Biden is jockeying right now to take, I forget what it is, $300 billion that's being held up right now of Russia's money and use it to rebuild Ukraine. Now, I'm sort of torn on this because I'd rather they do that than use our money to rebuild Ukraine, which you know is what they're going to do. But at the same time, that is going to piss off Putin bad. I mean, that could take us to a war that we don't really want. So, I'm not sure exactly which way I lean on that one. Maybe I'll read more about it and see if I can do it on the next show. We can end on some weird news. There's so many weird things going on these days. All right, this one is called, Hey Baby, You Want My Meat? A New Jersey woman was left scratching her head and understandably irritated after her house was vandalized by a prankster who left pieces of pepperoni all over her property. According to a local media report, the very strange incident occurred last week at the home of Heather Daughtry, who resides in the community of Manville. Upon opening her door Wednesday morning, she was stunned to discover that she had been visited by a mischief maker armed with meat. To her chagrin, the troublemaker left what appeared to be pepperoni from the door to the edge of the porch and then strategically placed down the stairs to the driveway and four slices on the hood and then four slices on the trunk of her car. Beyond the back... I can't talk tonight. Beyond the act of vandalism itself, Daughtry observed that the meat-based nature of the prank has left her particularly baffled. Who goes around with two loaves of pepperoni in the middle of the night and cuts it up into slices and throws it on people's properties, she wondered to a local TV station. Meanwhile, an area pizza parlor owner enlisted to identify the meat indicated that it is certainly of the family of pepperoni and salami. Really? They had to go get a pizza place owner to verify that it's pepperoni? Who doesn't know what pepperoni looks like? And I have a feeling that somebody that knows her is screwing with her. There's got to be some kind of inside joke there. But, yeah, definitely weird. So I guess that pretty much wraps it up. I hope you all learned a little something tonight. Not only do we aim to entertain, but to educate as well. And we also hope that you will pass our show on to your friends and family. You can always email us, DentonAndSassShow@gmail.com, or you can follow us on the X at DentonAndSass. Now, I've said this many times before, but it is definitely worth mentioning again. The world is getting to be a pretty crazy place. And you never know how much time you have left, so never forget to hug your family and make sure that they know exactly how much you love them. Other than that, we are doomed. Drink up and have a good rest of your day. See ya.